The great green wave of May washes over the world. Plant cells divide at pace, unfurling, reaching, expanding. In the soft May dawn, pea shoots twist up bamboo canes, climbing tendril over tendril. Ferns uncoil, oak leaves spread and twist themselves towards the light. Grass stretches upwards. You could almost hear it if it weren't for the overlapping choruses of birdsong ringing out across the neighbourhood. Blackbird over wren, over chaffinch, over warbler. They pronounce their eggs laid, new lives coming, and guard them with song. There is colour too amid the green. Lilacs wave, foxgloves peek from shady corners. Bluebells hang, tinkling their fairy bells, and tulips stand stately in terracotta pots. But white is May's second colour, the crests of its green wave. Elderflower and cow parsley, hydrangea and lily of the valley. And there is plenty of blossom too, apple, pear, plum and hawthorn, buzzy with pollinating bees. The first small bounties are emerging. Delicate fingertips pricked, grappling for the earliest, tiny, sharp, green, tufted gooseberries, and then soothed as they slip green beans from their soft, cushioned pods. The early crops of summer are here. The first peas popped into the mouth while standing on grass, looking up at the milk moon. Today we'll wander through the ecstatic countryside, stopping by our traditional orchard, foraging for blossom with Zoe, gathering round the maypole for a ritual, and slipping down the riverbank at dusk to meet our mammal of the month. We'll begin with folk singer Sam Lee and his song for May, the Padstow May Song, created with his band Nico and James and guest vocalists Polly Gone Wrong.
Unite and unite, and let us all unite, for summer is a-coming today, and whither we are going, we will all unite in the merry morning of May. Where are the young men that here now should dance? For summer is a-coming today. Some they are in England, and some they are in France, in the merry morning of May. Where are the women that here now should sing? For summer is a-coming today. They are in the meadows, the flowers gathering, in the merry morning of May. With the merry rain, adieu the merry spring, for summer is a-coming today. How happy is the little bird that merrily doth sing, St. George. Oh, where is he? Oh,
He's out in his longboat, all on the salt sea. Up flies the kite, down falls a lark. Hunters, you love Budwood. She had an old yow. She died in her own park.
Os, os, we os, is the cry being heard today across the town of Padstow as the townsfolk follow the obios all around the streets, dancing and playing this very song. Unite and unite, let us all unite, for summer is a coming today. Happy May Day, if you are indeed listening on the 1st of May. This is a very magical initiation into summer. Winter is being banished, and singing and dancing and the decorating of the May, the green spray from the leaf, all around the town of Padstow, as it is also happening in many other of the towns and villages around Britain, celebrating the coming in of summer.
At the start of the new month, I make a habit of reading over the weather wisdom in my well-worn folklore books, giving myself a glimpse of what to expect for the rest of the year, or even just the day. The best known of the May weather sayings is "Ne'er cast a clout till May be out." A clout was a piece of clothing, so it is obviously a suggestion that you shouldn't remove it due to the weather being cold. The rest of the saying is less clear. "Till May be out" could mean until the end of May, but it could also refer to the May, hawthorn or May blossom. Bring on the May, but don't bring in the May, as it's considered unlucky to bring this blossom indoors. Beware the ice saints this month, as they were known throughout Northern Europe. They are Saint Mamertus, Saint Pancras and Saint Servatius, whose feast days fall on the 11th, 12th and 13th of May, and who are supposed to bring winter's final blast of cold weather. In France, they are Les Saints de Glace, and they are called Ledoví Muci, or Icemen, in the Czech Republic, where they are joined by Cold Sophia on St. Sophia's Day, the 15th of May. In Poland, they are Zimni Ogrodnici, the Cold Gardeners. In ancient Greece, this was the time to look out for the heliacal rising of the Pleiades, the star cluster also known as the Seven Sisters. Heliacal rising is the moment a star first becomes visible above the eastern horizon pre-dawn, and it happens at roughly the same time annually. For the ancient Greeks, the rising of the Pleiades in May heralded the beginning of the sailing season, an important date for a maritime society that used celestial navigation. On the 1st of May, in Inverness, the sun will rise at 5:27 a.m. and set at 9:01 p.m. In Padstow, it rises at 5:55 a.m. and sets at 8:39 p.m. During the course of May, day length increases by 2 hours and 4 minutes in Inverness and by 1 hour and 23 minutes in Padstow. In the orchard. As we approach the gate to our traditional orchard, we can see that the trees are bursting with blossom, creamy, rich clusters of petals that look utterly irresistible. The bees and other pollinators certainly find them so, for each blooming tree is humming with purposeful life, the bees bumping from flower to flower in a glorious feast of bright yellow pollen. I love that sound. It means that here at least, life is thriving. These days it's hard to talk about bees and pollinators without noting some grave facts. Our bees are declining, not just in Britain, but all over the world. And though this is a complicated issue and one that can't be solved with one action, it's becoming clear that there is one particular factor posing an existential threat to our insects. During the 20th century, farming across the world was transformed by the invention of chemical pesticides, seemingly a miracle, for these could prevent the blights and plagues that made food production often unreliable. But as early as 1962, Rachel Carson's powerful book, Silent Spring, brought the serious harms of some pesticides to light. One very important reason our traditional orchard is so full of diverse life is that it's not sprayed with pesticides. Maintaining spaces like this is not only joyful, but could be very important for the future of farming, as we strive to find a better balance between humans and nature. For here, in this unsprayed orchard, there is help at hand. Great tits and blue tits feed their chicks with aphids and caterpillars. Vanishingly rare spotted flycatchers spear hundreds of insects a day with their sharp beaks. Spiders make webs amid the branches, trapping still more. Ladybirds munch through thousands of aphids at every stage of their life cycles, and so do delicate lacewings. Many beetles will feast on a diverse range of pests, and last month's mammal of the month, bats, are of course specialist moth hunters, eating damaging species such as the codling moth. You can encourage these creatures into your orchard, or just into your garden, by putting up bug hotels, bird boxes and bat boxes, and by simply letting chaos reign a little bit. A wild patch is a great way to do this, an area of garden given over solely to nature. Or better still, you can dig a pond. But it's also helpful to just let things be. Don't clear away every dead leaf and twig. Let nature's cycles of decay take their course. Avoid the use of pesticides. And you might be surprised when you see who shows up to enjoy your wilder space, and you begin to experience nature's balance for yourself.
Hawthorne. Some of my favourite folk tales are ones in which characters are presented with a fantastical abundance of food. I'm thinking of the magic porridge pot, which if you know the correct commands will never leave you hungry, or the gingerbread house in Hansel and Gretel, a discovery seemingly beyond the wildest dreams of hungry children lost in the wood, or banquets laid out for foolish interlopers in fairy rings, heaped with the kind of irresistible delicacies we see offered to Laura and Lizzie in Rossetti's wonderful poem, Goblin Market. The fruits of the hawthorn are not among those the goblins press upon the girls, but there is something of the fantasy of abundance in the nickname for the hawthorn spring offerings of new leaves and flower buds, which are known as bread and cheese. You can pick both from the hedgerow and snack on them as you amble. They aren't rich food and won't fill you up, but they are very nutritious, and the name is an acknowledgement of a modest spring treat. Hawthorn is abundant in England, and we will almost always find it in hedgerows that mark borders or lane edges, like the ones that run around this wood. Many hedgerows were added to the English landscape as a result of the Enclosure Acts, dividing up open land into smaller fields, and thorny, hardy plants were ideal. As a result, we now have rather more hawthorn than we might otherwise. Though these trees also stand alone in our countryside, glorious and dangerous, not just because of their thorns, but because they are trees of the fairies and must be treated with due respect and reverence. As spring creeps out from winter's chilly shadow, you will have seen brave bursts of blossom already on trees and in hedgerows. First the tentative, delicate cherry plum, and then the blackthorn, plant of the sloe, dotting its dark, bare branches with slightly dirty-looking frills of white petals. These have usually been blown or washed away by April showers by the time the hawthorn's turn comes, and it pings out its tiny, vivid green leaves before they are obscured by the radiant, scented curds of May blossom that can alter the countryside almost as dramatically as a hoarfrost. I'll pick these leaves and buds to fill a paper bag, nibbling as I go, take them back to the woodland kitchen and submerge them in a jar of spirits. Gin, vodka or brandy will do, then leave to steep for a couple of months. This is the start of a health-giving drink that will only be completed by the end of winter, after returning to the hedgerow for the red hawberries and adding these to the strained alcohol for their own steeping, perhaps with a little sugar. The resultant, slightly murky elixir is good for the heart, blood and circulation, effects that have been proven in scientific studies. A heartening thought for a warm spring day. And nibbling or steeping the leaves, flowers and fruits of the hawthorn will not lead to the sorts of perils that befall those who gorge on gingerbread houses or let their magic porridge pot boil over. Though I would still advise asking the fairies before you pick and saying thank you for your harvest, just to be sure.